You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, you know what that music means, ladies and gentlemen. It means we are live on this Saturday night. Sunday here on the East Coast here in the United States. UFC Vegas 15 is in the books. Anthony Smith picks up a first round submission win over Devin Clark in the main event. And of course, we had the boxing match, Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. And if you haven't watched it, it ended the way I told you it was going to end yesterday when we did the preview show. And if you listen to me and you put a couple bucks on it, you're in a much better place right now financially. But we're here to recap both of these events with all of you live here on the MMAfighting.com YouTube channel. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Jose Youngs. There he is. And the executive producer himself, E. Casey Lydon. We got mustaches everywhere. How you doing, Nate? How you doing, Casey, after a wonderful night of combat sports?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking, sir. Thank you for asking.
And Jose, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I saw a nice rap concert tonight, and then there were also some fights. So, weird night, I guess.
It was a weird night. And for those watching right now, we want to hear from you. This is going to be your show for the most part because there's so much to talk about. And chances are you're going to guide us in the right direction anyhow. So first things first, let us talk Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., Jose, because we might as well.
What's the negativity here? I'm sensing negativity.
You're asking me. Hold on, Casey Lydon's asking me what the negativity's from.
What are you talking about?
2020 really has reached just the twilight zone.
like Snoop said, look like two uncles fighting in a backyard, man. That's what the people wanted. It's fantastic.
Name five of those people.
The two uncles in the backyard fighting?
Never mind.
The Snoop. Good old Snoop Dogg. Terrible on Contender Series, but he actually kind of fit in with the craziness of tonight. But
yeah, he fit
so
in.
So, Jose, I mean, basically, like, my thoughts on it was this was an exhibition fight, but Mike Tyson, you know, Roy Jones thought it was an exhibition fight and treated it as such. And Mike Tyson at times wanted to become the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. He was throwing some shots. And had he gone like 110%, I don't think this fight would have gone past three or four rounds. But, you know, it was what it was. And in the end, we all thought, I mean, literally everybody on earth thought Mike Tyson was going to get the decision. Turns out that is not the case. It ends as a draw, which really shouldn't be surprising to anybody. So, Jose, just, I guess, quickly off the just from your gut instincts and off the top of your head, overall thoughts on this fight. Is it what you expected? Did it exceed expectations? Where are you at right now?
It definitely didn't exceed expectations. It ending in a draw. Like, I tweeted it, I was like, duh. Like, that's the only logical scenario this could have ended. I mean, there was not supposed to be a winner. Like, they had, what did they just, they like pulled a bunch of former champions and then they came up with a decision. I'm pretty sure Vinny Paz was on that board, and any board that Vinny Paz is on should just be thrown out the window right now. I'm sure, I don't even know if that man knows what year it is. But I thought Roy Jones was going to look a lot better than he did, considering he has been active in the last, 20 years, and Mike Tyson has not been active whatsoever. But I think you said it best. Roy Jones treated this like an exhibition match, and Mike Tyson came in just slinging leather, even pretty early too. I do also agree with you that if the chains were off and he was allowed to just throw whatever he wanted without, you know, any repercussion of a knockout, he probably would have in the first few rounds. But I don't think he wanted to blow his load early. So what can you say? It fought to a draw. I think I don't even remember what I scored it officially. I tweeted it. I can't remember it, but I thought Mike Tyson won, in air quotes for those of us listening. I thought he won, but it ending in a draw, just, I was like, yes, this makes sense. This is 2020.
Wow. I mean, it was just such a weird night, just trying to like pay attention to two different events, the magnitude of this boxing event, which kind of took on a life of its own. But Casey, your thoughts? Tyson v. Jones, was it what you expected it? was it what you expected it to be? Did it exceed it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it exceeded my expectations. I had very low expectations for this fight. I thought the production was going to be a shit show, but it wasn't. I didn't know Mauro was going to be the play-by-play. I thought Mauro was awesome. I thought Izzy was awesome. I'm not crazy on Snoop Dogg, but I think for an exhibition match, it was fine. Whatever. You know, people like it. Sugar Ray Leonard's like, I don't know, whatever. But I don't think he adds too much to the booth. I think it was too many in the booth. But it's just the production. I thought it looked awesome. It was something you haven't seen. It looked different from Bellator. It looked different from not just being a ring. It looked different from any other pandemic type of combat sports event we've seen. And I thought it looked awesome. And I thought the exhibition match was fine. It's like 250-year-old men punching each other. It was better than I expected.
Yeah, production-wise, it was very, very Japan, right? It was like Pride, kind of like Super J Cup, old Japanese pro wrestling. That's what it reminded me of.
I enjoyed the big screens using those LCD. I mean, the big big monitors and everything. It was cool. I don't know. It was something we don't get in MMA. It was nice.
Jose, let me ask you this. Was Jake Paul the star of the night?
Yeah, considering I did Twitter reacts for the site, and that by far generated the most reactions. Because let's not forget, like, we kind of live in this echo chamber of combat sports where we follow boxing and MMA and kickboxing and Muay Thai and all that stuff. So we knew that this we were all excited for Tyson and Jones. Well, excited might not be the word, but we were all like anticipating some sort of spectacle in the main event. We were kind of making jokes about Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul. But Nate Robinson brings an entire NBA fraternity with him. So I did Twitter reaction. My God, did every single NBA player tune in to watch this fight? Like, we had like Donovan Mitchell, Kendrick Perkins, Steph Curry, Bradley Beal, like Nick Young, Evan Turner challenged Jake Paul to a fight. Nick Young's like, oh, I got to get respect back for the NBA fam. So 100%, I wouldn't say biggest star. Use that word for what you want. I won't use that word with him, but people were definitely talking about that fight specifically more than any other fight. And then when the main event happened, it kind of seems like the sporting world kind of all watched together, but the NBA Twitter just kind of got lit on fire when Nate Robinson got knocked out by Jake Paul. So, yeah, all eyes are on Jake Paul after that performance.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was like a big like clinch fest for a while. Nate Robinson was just throwing gas like right off the bat. And, you know, Jake just
was trying to knock him out in about 30 seconds.
I think Nate actually outlanded Jake in the fight, but Jake obviously made his shots count and knocked him out cold. So, I mean, Casey, you're a pro wrestling guy. If you're Jake Paul right now, like, don't be boxing Dylan Danis and Conor McGregor. Like, none of those fights are going to happen anytime soon. You should just run through the entire NBA right now, right? All these basketball players want to come in and fight you. Just start running through all these NBA guys, right? Like, isn't that the way to go?
Either way, obviously, celebrity boxing is the route for him. I don't even know why this fight was even happening. Nate Robinson just seems like a random basketball player to me. Like, okay, I guess. What was his experience? Like, he looked like a guy that's maybe been training boxing for about a year, but hadn't really been in a competitive match. Cause he looked like he was fighting scared in the first, like everything. He just looked like he was just a scared fighter to me. And just, well, if I can't knock this guy out in 20 seconds, I'm out of ideas. I didn't know the history of this fight at all. So did he train? I mean, did he have any amateurs? Like, what's the history on this?
No, he was 0-0 and he called out Jake Paul.
Was he just a guy that liked boxing?
I don't know his fandom. I don't know how deep his fandom goes, but he called him out. Because I know Logan Paul wanted to fight Antonio Brown, who, if you follow football, I think at one point in time, Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in football. And he was still playing, but then he off the field issues cast him out of the league. And for like a good few months, the circus was following him around. So he tried to fight Logan Paul. And I think that kind of opened the door to a lot of athletes, former athletes, challenging these YouTube stars. And then I believe Nate Robinson called out Jake Paul, and Jake Paul was like, okay, let's do it. Like, you're my height, my weight. you're, because a basketball player, they're all like, you forget, you watch them on TV, like Kobe Bryant's 6'6", and he looks normal sized on a court, but you stand next to Kobe Bryant, he was massive. Nate Robinson was actually normally sized human being, so I think that's why Jake Paul took this fight.
Hey, Jake Paul's smart. He picks his match as well. That was a smart matchup for him. Nate Robinson just did not look like a guy that was ready to box competitively. And I don't know. Yeah, of course, Jake Paul's not a world beater, but he can beat NBA players.
This was also Jake Paul's third fight in like the last, however many, like 2 years, year and a half. So he's actually spent, if whatever you want to call it, his training camp, he's been in the gym for like a year and a half working on these, on his boxing. So it's just the reps, I guess.
Yeah. I don't care. I would like to see Jake Paul versus Dylan Danis. I don't care.
No, you should fight. If Mike, you're a wrestling guy. Casey, you're a wrestling guy. It's all about the stories. He has to fight the guy that beat his brother, whatever his name is, in a boxing match.
Who beat it?
Is it KSI?
KSI beat Logan Paul. They fought to a draw, and that was an exhibition fight. That was an actual like exhibition contest, like the Tyson fight. It was fought to a draw on YouTube. It was a YouTube pay-per-view. And then they rematched in the T-Mobile Arena, and it was a professional fight, and KSI won. So he's 1-0 professionally, and Logan Paul, and he beat Logan Paul's Jake Paul's brother. So make that fight if you want to make a lot of money. It's a fight you can win, not take damage, and you can make a boatload of money.
Yeah, I think I actually think Ben Askren would be a lot of fun if we're trying to appeal to the combat sports.
I guarantee you more people know who KSI is than Ben Askren. And
I agree.
That's an unfortunate situation because Ben Askren is a world-class athlete. And KSI is just a guy with like 50 million YouTube subscribers. So money-wise and eyeball-wise, it's KSI. If you want to actually appeal to the combat sports fans, Askren or Danis is the fight. But I guess it just depends on which road you want to take.
You take the money fight.
I agree. I agree because you'll probably beat both of those guys. Well, you'll probably beat KSI. I don't know how Dylan Danis' boxing is, and then Ben Askren, it is what it is. So I fine. Take any of those fights. At the end of the day, Jake Paul's gonna make a buttload of money in any of those because he's Jake Paul.
And he builds fights correctly. He just goes on a bunch of like heavily populated YouTube channels. Runs his mouth a little bit, but he was very respectful after the win, which I thought was pretty cool on his
part. They all are.
Called out who he wanted to call out and such. One of the things that stuck out to me about this event is that there were certain times where I felt like I was like 12 years old, feeling nostalgic, and then there were other times where I felt like I was 114 years old, especially during the musical performances, because I had no idea who half these people were. No idea. Snoop Dogg like saved the day for me. I was like, oh yeah, I know all of these songs. But that was it. Like, I didn't really know. I mean, I've heard of these people, but never. I'm sitting there listening to the song. Black and Wiz Khalifa, obviously, I knew. But then, like, sandwiched in between, no idea who they were. So it was interesting to say the least.
I saw people complain about the performances. Yeah, there might have been one too many, but, like, I enjoyed it. I was like, oh, this sounds good. I was like, oh, I get to see YG. I was like, YG's freaking awesome. I was like, oh, yeah.
They were just long. After a while, I was like, all right, let's get the show on the road. Like, I have no problem if you want to play a song or two in between, but like, you play like full sets. I'm like, let's move it along, people.
That's what you're paying for. You're not just paying. You're paying for the whole package, man.
Oh, okay.
Dude, MTV Video Music Award. It. Like, if you want to go through like the catalog, just do like 30 seconds of each. A verse, yeah. A chorus, verse, a chorus. Like, Drop It Like It's Hot was like Snoop's 37th song. And he did like three verses of that. And then a remix in the background with Smoke This and Smoke That. Like, it was great. Gin and Juice is awesome. Nothing But G-Thing was great. But that's it. You know, just go on a high note, bro. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was just such a weird night.
Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com.
Yes. And then we'd be remiss before we go to questions. Anthony Smith gets back in the winning on the winning track.
Oh, yeah.
Almost forgotten about. Those unfair.
Those Ultimate Fighters in Vegas. Yeah, that thing happened, too.
It's so unfair. Poor Miguel Baeza. And poor Anthony Smith getting submission victories like during and then in the aftermath of Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. So it's almost unfortunate for both guys, but they both look great. Both get big wins. Anthony Smith especially coming in, big spot, had lost his last two fights. People thought back was against the wall. It was a must-win fight. Got an early takedown. Devin Clark, very aggressive. Slaps on a triangle. Gets a submission, Casey. What did you think of Anthony Lionheart-Smith's performance getting back to his winning ways?
Pleasantly surprised. I thought he was going to lose tonight. I thought Devin Clark was going to grind him out and it was going to be a mediocre 25 minutes of, you know, fence fighting. But it wasn't. It was like 3 or 4 minutes. Anthony Smith is in a fight and he doesn't have to go to the hospital afterward. He just goes back to his hotel room, eat a pizza, and he just collects a check. Great on him. I don't see Anthony Smith fighting for a title or anything anytime soon. But great Anthony Smith. Got a big win, and I'm glad he's still in it.
I was a little surprised, Jose, when I heard his entrance music. No return of the back. Turns out it was the right decision. New man, yeah. A new fighter.
What did he walk out to?
Yeah.
Do we know?
I don't know.
Just a different song. Doesn't matter.
Different song. So maybe he just wanted to change it up. So maybe 2020 is just, you know, bummer all around. You know my affinity for that song, but can't argue with the results. As someone who claims that Crystal gave Brian Kelleher powers, I can't argue with the results of walking out with a new song and him getting a victory.
Agreed. Rest of UFC Vegas 15, if you were just so enamored with the Tyson Jones pay-per-view, Parker Porter gets his first UFC win over Josh Parisian via unanimous decision. That was a wild fight. I can't believe that thing went 15 minutes. Bill Algeo defeated Spike Carlisle, unanimous decision. Norma Dumont defeats Ashley Evans-Smith. She gets her first UFC win. Jonathan Pierce also gets his first UFC win against Kai Kamaka III. TKO in the second round. Anderson Dos Santos gets a win. Gina Mazzani, first win in over 3 years. She gets a finish over Rachel Ostovich. What a crazy fight that was. Nate Maness gets a win. I always forget how to pronounce his last name.
Oh, man. Sue Madarji. I like that.
Yes, I apologize.
Madarji? Yeah. Sue Madarji? Because I saw in the UFC had it as one long name. It was like
Alatang Haley.
Yeah. Sue Madarji. I'll just go with that for now. Until he tells me otherwise.
What is his ethnicity?
He fights out of China, but that covers a lot of ethnicities, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I know some of those countries don't really have surnames, first names, last names. It's just like Ong Long Song is all like his full name.
Yeah.
Is born in Tibet, if that helps.
Can you talk about
Tibetan Eagle?
You know what this fight card reminded me of? The Rockhold David Branch fight, because it was the same exact day as Canelo Triple G. So no one really watched Triple G. I mean, David Branch and Rockhold, and like Rockhold got the win, like dominant win over David Branch. Mike Perry was on the card. I'm pretty sure Anthony Smith Lombard was on that card. Kamaru Usman was on that card, and. Where was that? Pittsburgh? Was that the Pittsburgh card? Or was somewhere? It was some random place. Okay. Like, it was like Pittsburgh or Philly or something weird, and no one watched it. I remember I had to do Twitter reacts maybe, and no one watched it. It was all Triple G versus Canelo everywhere.
Which you should have been.
We got our bonuses.
Let me guess. Sumadarji.
Yep.
He has to get one. Anthony Smith.
Yep.
And is there a fight of the night or two bonuses?
Two bonuses.
Four bonuses.
Okay, the bonuses. Maybe Baez. Oh, Baez.
Yep.
Baeza. And then.
Ooh, this is going to be a tough one. If you get this, I'll be impressed.
Maness.
Boom. Yeah. Hundo. Nicely done. All right, we're going to go to questions momentarily. For those wondering why I'm so dark and look a little grainy. I am in Boston right now. I'm at my parents' house. My parents are in Florida. They're about to drive back next week. So my wife, being the angel that she is, said, you know what? We're going to put up all the Christmas decorations for them. So by the time they get home, they don't have to do it. So you can see all the stockings behind me. So there you go.
What's that little Boston blanket? Is that Christmas or is that always there? The Boston blanket?
There it is. Yeah, that's always there. I think my kid put it up there.
All right.
But there you go. All right, let's get to the questions. See what the peeps have to say.
Here's the question. Do. I just want to say before we get to the questions, It is pretty funny how right when Roy Jones and Tyson began their match, at the same time, Porter and Parisian are going at it. And just like, whoa, just two heavyweight fights in two different combat sports. Very interesting. It was just a different, completely different feel to them.
Have you seen the photos from the Tyson Jones, like the photos from Getty? Yeah, Casey?
No, drop them in a Slack.
Oh, man. They are exactly what you'd expect during a pandemic where you have to sit like five rows back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, man, it's like if that fight was scheduled for next week, it doesn't happen because everything is shut down in LA. So, hey. All right.
It was wild. Just a wild night.
Everyone just a lot of happiness for Lionheart. I'm seeing a lot of people just fans love him.
It's good. One of the really good guys in the sport.
He is.
Girl dad too.
That's right. That dude's been through a lot this year.
More importantly, former co-host of the A-side.
That's right.
Let me just go just here. It's not actually about this card, but it's other news coming out.
Our good friend Joseph Boza. Am I crazy or is something up with UFC on ESPN 19? Hermanson versus Vettori. Kevin Holland supposedly got COVID around noon. He dropped out 4 hours later. He is fighting Jacare. WTF. Okay, Jose, I got to say, I was a little surprised to see that on the broadcast night that Kevin Holland was returning in 2020 and fighting a week later against Jacare. Your reaction to all this, because it's kind of surprising.
Not surprised. It's the UFC. That's what they like. A week? Like a contract means nothing. Like you could like Casey and I were talking about before you hopped on. Like you sign a contract and then like a day later they're like, no, sorry, Sajara Eubanks, you're no longer fighting in the main event in Madison Square Garden, even though you agreed to it. Like it doesn't matter. Like a week later, a day later, it doesn't matter. It's it is what it like. Should it happen? Probably not, because Kevin Holland has a virus that is very contagious and is killing a lot of people in this country. So probably should have fight, but doesn't surprise me that the UFC is making it happen. I'm sure he's going to quarantine, but can he train? Who's he going to train with? Like, he can't. Does his coaches have it? Does his coaches not have it? Is he in any sort of training camp? Like, they push this to January, so be it. But for it to be a week later is a little shocking. But not it should be shocking. But honestly, I'm not surprised, because it's just I'm used to the UFC pulling this kind of stuff at this point. Shouldn't be happening though.
And Jacare already had COVID too, so
sure did. I was like, there. Oh, he was the original
patient zero.
It's the first.
I will never forget sitting in the lobby, because we were all done with work. Me and Oscar Willis. And Adam Hill of Las Vegas Review and Oscar Willis of MacLife were sitting in the hotel lobby, like finally eating dinner after a long day, and then just chaos broke. And then all of a sudden the entire lobby was empty.
isn't it funny now? So when was that fight? In June?
May.
So May. And now we're at the point where it's if a fighter doesn't fall out, a main fight doesn't fall out the week of, that's a shocker.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's weird. And just because Holland is booked against Jacare doesn't mean that fight's happening either, people. So it's interesting, but that one.
Don't worry, Kevin Holland will end up fighting Jack Hermanson in January because both fights will fall out.
Just, you know, that little graphic you see all the time, card subject to change. Just keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's on the books right now. And as Jose has said many times in the preview show, until those two men walk to the octagon and the referee says go, fight's not official yet. That's just kind of the world we're living in. Ooh, what about, yes, Natalie Duran, I completely agree with you. Anthony Smith versus Luke Rockhold, there is no other fight to make. It is personal. Give Anthony Smith what he wants, right? Any disagreements here?
If Rockhold is back, like if he wants to come back and he's ready to go, then sure. I love that fight. That fight should happen. They hate each other. Rockhold's coming off a loss. Anthony Smith is still not in a position to be choosy with his opponents. I think it's a fight both fighters can win. Five-round fight. I mean, Rockhold's only fought 2 3-rounders in his UFC career. Anthony Smith's on this run of main events. Make it happen. Off the top of my head, who's light heavyweight? Who else is there? He already fought Vulcan. You already fought like pretty much everyone in the top five.
It's probably like he'd probably have to fight like the winner of Serkinov and Span, right? At this point.
Or Jimmy Crute.
Oh.
This is Jimmy Crute would be fun.
This is the fight for Anthony Smith. This is a perfect fight for both those gentlemen, honestly.
I agree. I'm just thinking like if Rockhold doesn't want to fight anytime soon and Anthony Smith does, because Luke Rockhold is technically still retired.
Well, this if Luke Rockhold wants to come back, this is the fight he needs to come back to. I mean, I know people want to crap on Luke Rockhold because you know Luke Rockhold is Luke Rockhold, but look who he's lost to though. He lost to Jan. Like when we lost to Jan, no one thought like, oh, this is clearly gonna be the guy's gonna be the champ in a few months. Like I don't think that wasn't written anywhere in the world. He lost to Romero and Bisping. I mean. Yeah. But this, if Rockhold loses Anthony Smith, who knows what happens after that? But man, actually,
another fun fight because they have some sort of beef too. Johnny Walker, because they don't have fights and they were going out on Twitter not too long ago. Too.
Anthony Smith and
Johnny Walker. Yeah, Anthony Smith's response was, "I'll beat the F out of you,"
because Walker called him out after his last win. He got on the mic and called him out. You know what I think is not out of the realm of possibility because of this card is subject to change? Maybe they have Anthony Smith on standby to fight Jacare.
At light heavyweight?
Why not?
It would have to be at 205, yeah. Jacare's fought at 205. If Jacare wants a fight, no matter what, then I could see that, yeah.
First round sub, didn't take any damage.
And look again at Jacare. He was one of those guys that tried to go to light heavyweight. And he lost, but he'd wind up losing to the guy who wound up winning the belt. So it's not like he lost to just a dude. You know, he lost to Jan, you know?
What if Romero jumps up? Romero jumps up to 205? I'm just thinking like other possibilities.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like.
That's a main event fight.
Hell yeah.
You know, I like Jacare versus Anthony Smith way more than Jacare versus Kevin Holland. I know Kevin Holland wants to get in there and everything, but with the test, it's just, come on, man. But of course, Jacare going back up in weight, but he's fighting a guy that used to fight at 85. He's a small 205er. Who knows? Good idea, Mike Eck. Let me call
you like, Maynard. Yeah. Do you guys like Hermanson versus Vettori better than Hermanson versus Holland?
I like Hermanson. I wonder Hermanson Jacare. Why was it
Vettori? They already fought.
What happened?
Yeah, he beat him up and fight. That's how Jack Hermanson got these main events. He beat him up in Sunrise.
You're right. Sorry. That's why. Yeah, all right.
It was supposed to be Romero Jacare 2, if I'm not mistaken. And Romero pulled out, if I remember correctly, and Hermanson was the last minute.
Yeah.
I remember that because this was back in the MMA hour days, and Jack Hermanson was like, I'm going to beat up Jacare on the ground. Like, I do not care how good he is. Because I wrote that article.
I don't remember that fight. I mean, I do remember the result, but I don't actually remember the fight.
Greg Hardy was on that card. That was when he fought that dude who looked like he was going to fall asleep. His eyes were always closed.
But the one that Dana freaked out about afterwards?
Yeah, he's like, why is he in the UFC? I'm like, yeah.
That guy. You know, there's so many fights I watch and I go, you know what? I'm just going to block this out of my memory in about 30 seconds. And this is gone. And then I'm a happy man again.
That fight had the co-main event was Greg Hardy versus Dmitry Smolikov.
Co-main event.
And then they had Mike Perry, Cowboy, Oliveira, Glover, Kutaleba, Corey Sanhagen, Lineker was on that card. Roosevelt Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Esparza, Jandaroba, Gilbert Burns, Mike Davis. That was a good card. My God. Angela and
that
Jody.
Was pretty good.
Diego and Court. That was a good scrap. Man, there was a lot of good fights on that card.
Hey, look at my good fighters on that card and that the co-main event. Right, yeah.
I just remember I had to make winner graphics like for like that we post like who won the fights. And shockingly, Esther had photos of Dmitry that I like available. And every single photo, it looked like he had just fallen asleep. So I'm like, I hope this guy doesn't become a big superstar because he is the most unphotogenic person I have ever seen in the UFC.
I love those guys.
I love it. The tonight's Tyson pay-per-view helped make combat sports more fringe or legit?
I would say it's going to be the same as every big boxing match where all eyes are on boxing, but then boxing is really into how much money they can make today rather than how they can make the sport big, I think, which is, take it for what it is. Like when Pacquiao fought Mayweather, boxing didn't become all of a sudden this big thing, but all eyes were on it. And then a week later, we just passed it. Same as Maymac. Like how much money can we make right now? Which is fine if you want to make a lot of money and you want to put on a spectacle. Like you go to the circus, you don't want to go to the circus every single week. But that's just my opinion. Boxing is really good at making one night spectacles and not continuing on forward. I think Eddie Hearn is doing a really good job over in Matchroom Boxing. If you watch his, like when Katie Taylor fought, the way he cuts promos on his fighters is amazing. He sells them and he sells their opponents. Like Katie Taylor just beat the hell out of her opponent. I can't remember her opponent's name. And he basically still sold her opponent's skills, sold how good Katie Taylor is. And basically like, yeah, this fight wasn't that competitive, but just keep watching. Like I think Eddie Hearn is doing a phenomenal job promoting his fighters over there. And Anthony Joshua should be the biggest star in boxing. He's just not there yet. He has to fight Tyson Fury and Wilder first.
I think the Tyson pay-per-view was very legit. Outside of, you know, Snoop making, you know, some off-color maybe jokes every once in a while. I thought Izzy was great. I mean, yes. Can we talk about Izzy for a moment? What did you think about Izzy in the commentary booth?
You could tell he did homework. You could really tell he did homework because, like, when Badu Jack fought, he was talking about his opponent's last fight, Badu Jack's last fights. Like, you could tell he really put in the research. Even Jake Paul, he's, like, talking about what Jake Paul did in his last fight compared to what he did in this fight. I think Izzy has a legit future in, like, analytical work for, like, the UFC, like, a color commentator and stuff.
I think it's interesting the fact that he was actually so good. First of all, I didn't listen to the whole broadcast. I probably listened of the Tyson pay per view. I probably listened to maybe 40% of it, but I got the impression that Izzy was almost slightly annoyed that maybe Snoop wasn't taking it as serious as Izzy was. I don't know. That was just my sense, but I don't understand how did the UFC not see this in Izzy? He's their champ, and yet I haven't seen him in any sort of analyst role for the UFC. I just find that very odd.
Maybe they just couldn't get him to Vegas to do it, or he was in camp, or he's had so many fights back to back to back to back. When's he gonna have time to do that?
Well, he's only 4 hours from Vegas right now, and he's been down here for about a month at least.
Fair point.
So fair point. I'm just saying it's just something's going on. I don't know.
I'm sure he made a lot more money doing it tonight than he would have doing it for a UFC broadcast. Like a lot more.
Yes. When things don't make sense, yeah. It's like who's writing the bigger checks.
Yeah. And I'm sure the UFC had to like allow him to do it in some way. And I don't know.
I've never heard that.
You think there's gotta be some sort of conflict there in some way.
Dana White said Izzy told him. Izzy was like, hey, I'm doing this. And Dana was like, cool. That's what he said at the press conference anyway.
Can you imagine Dana saying, no, don't make money? that will go real over real well with Izzy, I'm sure.
He did great, though.
He did. He was awesome. I was really impressed. Phenomenal. I was impressed. Hey, in tuxedos, wearing a tuxedo. Look at him looking all sharp.
He was so much better than Sugar Ray. That's for sure. That's an unfortunate thing. Like, Sugar Ray is great. But I felt like when Sugar Ray would speak, I would like he would it sounded like he was about to say something profound or like something like reminisce on something, and I was like leaning in here, and then he just like stopped talking. Like he started a story and then just never got to the next part.
Yeah, I never got any insight from him. Yeah, for sure.
No, and he's one of the greatest boxers who ever lived, but he was not on his A game. Mauro's the best.
I was happy to hear Mauro again. But him and his flowing Mauro locks. Mauro is
by far. And he was bringing in a lot of, he had Matt caught me off guard for sure.
I was like, whoa.
He was doing a lot, I think, for, like, he would, when he would talk to Izzy, when people would clinch up, he would specifically ask Izzy about like, oh, this is like you in the UFC. And then when Snoop Dogg, he'd be like, hey, Snoop, you've done WWE matches before. Your cousin is a women's champion right now. So like he was bringing in, like he was trying to get like specific experiences from other people.
He sets him up.
He tried to get that with Sugar Ray, and Sugar Ray's like, oh, I'm kind of old, so I don't know. Like, come on, man.
Sugar Ray seems like he's good for like maybe like promos where you interview them and you can edit and take like clips of him. But like when he just has to free flow in a booth, I don't know. I felt it was a little off.
Dude, you know who was great tonight? And I know people kind of like frowned upon it when they heard he was the host. Mario Lopez is awesome tonight.
He was.
Well, Mario Lopez is a really big boxing fan. Like he did a lot of like Showtime or HBO, one of them. So he would do that a lot, and he's hosted a million things. So like I'm not, when he popped on, I'm like, whatever. Like, I don't really think about Mario Lopez. I don't have any affinity for Mario. I've never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell. but I didn't grow up watching TV, but I just know he really is passionate about boxing. So,
cool. He was the best wrestler at Bayside.
AC Slater, bro.
I will take your word for it.
My first gig ever in MMA, I was hired as an editor for the countdown show for the first Elite XC card, which was Frank Shamrock versus Henzo Gracie. So I had lots of raw footage of Mario Lopez. He was one of the original kind of analysts for Showtime when Elite XC came about. So I remember going, oh, and it was just fun hearing all this footage of him talking about Frank Shamrock and Henzo Gracie in an early Gina Carano. So that was 12, 13 years ago. So Mario Lopez for a while has been seriously involved, and not just boxing, but just combat sports in general. So yeah, he did well tonight. I don't really care very much for him as far as just in general.
Yeah, but tonight he did great, I think. And when he pops up, I know he's not going to say anything dumb that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he's a fan for sure.
Yep. I see what's next for Baez, a question.
I saw someone in the Twitter comments say Rachmaninoff. I like that fight. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that fight is fun.
That is a lot
I think
of fun.
It's the Tim Means. I like Tim Means fight. They both Tim Means is just like, I think, a slightly younger version of Matt Brown. So I think Tim Means versus Baez is a fun scrap.
There's a lot of options for the man right now.
You give him top 15 yet?
I give him a name next, like a pretty solid name, top 25. You know who I like? Maybe like Cowboy Oliveira.
What about Alan Jovan?
I was thinking Joban also. But Joban's
just like
pretty beat up.
He was out for a while. He got beat up pretty bad.
But he won.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's I think the UFC, I feel like the UFC, they want to put the promotional push behind Baez. I think he's got that it factor a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a step up though. That there's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe Cowboy Oliveira. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the Danny Rodriguez or Nicholas Dalby idea.
Around that range. Okay. Yeah. I see that. Yeah. Those are,
but he's close. He's real close though.
But what do we think about Baez?
What about the winner of Chaos Williams and Michelle Pereira? Depending on how the fight goes.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'd be down to watch either of those scraps. That'd be a lot of fun.
Because I think Chaos Williams, if he just crushes Michelle Pereira like he did the last two, he probably deserves top 15. But if it's like if he doesn't do that, and we finally get a sense of if he doesn't put you away in 30 seconds, he might not be the best fighter in the world. So, but again, there's a lot of questions for him. So I don't hate that fight either. That would just be a violent scrap.
I mean, 170 is just so much fun right now.
Yeah. I think more importantly, he just needs to be...
Mike Perry.
I was kind of thinking that too. You said a name, but not a ranked name. And Mike Perry is still a bigger name than Tim Means, even though Tim Means
100%
is clearly... 100%
he is.
You know what I mean. Yeah. So Maybe that's what Mike Perry is good for right now, is using his big name to boost up upcoming prospects. So, yeah, I like him.
I'll have to think about it for on to the next one. Then I'll
Does Sean Brady have a fight? Sean Brady doesn't have a fight coming up, right?
Oh, I just
You're supposed to fight Bilal Muhammad, and then he got injured. Right. So.
What's Gunnar Nelson doing these days? He has a fight.
I don't know.
I haven't heard.
He hasn't fought in a while,
man.
So this is a quick. Next question. Just a quick yes and no. Quick yes and no. And we'll move to the next question.
No.
No. Absolutely not.
That was a good fight tonight. That was a good fight.
That is what MMA is about, man. That is the beauty of MMA. I'm using beauty very loosely right there.
Should it have been like a main card fight on a UFC card? Probably not. And it's no disrespect to either guy, but it was a fun fight.
But can we talk about again how the UFC puts those two heavyweights, talented gentlemen, good fighters, at the top of a card when the freaking flyweights again with the quickest knockout of the whole night? They're throwing the second fight of the night. It's like, come on, man. When do we... Again.
I can tell you from Twitter reacts, more people watch the flyweight fight than the heavyweight fight.
That heavyweight fight was going on at the exact same time while a couple other heavyweights were fighting in a boxing ring in Los Angeles.
Sure were.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yeah. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
I can't find the question yet, but I lost it. But let's talk about what's next for Gina Mazzani and Rachel Ostovich.
Unfortunately, I think Rachel Ostovich's next fight will not be in the UFC.
Yeah, I probably
back to Invicta.
Yeah, I actually followed Rachel for a couple of days for one of her Invicta fights, maybe 4 years ago or so. And super nice. Her family was super awesome and everything. And she let me follow her around. I was in the locker room for her warming up, you know, and doing all that stuff. And she won her fight. And I remember thinking, oh, she has some serious potential. She has some star-making potential. But she was young. She's going to get better. You know, she looked very raw. And that was like at least 4 years ago. And unfortunately, she's the same fighter. Do you see Rachel Ostovich? I mean, I know she's been out of the ring, out of the cage for a while, but she just feels, I don't see any improvement in her game. Doesn't she feel like the same fighter you saw was she in the Tough House? I'm not sure, but.
I will say, outside of Jake Paul almost killing a man tonight, I think Rachel Ostovich had the highlight of the night.
When she got that weird transition?
That was insane. That was
a very bizarre transition. But then she didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
we were talking before you hopped on. We were like, man, if Rachel had got that crazy transition and actually got a submission, like $50,000, probably going to be talking about it for the rest of the year or until something else crazy happens. But like, she got to the position and then like that was it. Like step one, do something crazy. Step two, finish it, and you just didn't.
Yeah. She showed a lot of gusto in the fight, though. I'll give her credit. Gina Mazzani, man, she is legit at 125. She's an animal. She's got a lot of energy. She is super strong in that division. And that pace, that glory MMA pace that those fighters put on just fits her perfectly, did it not, Casey?
Oh, yeah. I thought she looked great tonight. I thought Felder was kind of harsh on her, saying, "Oh, she looks really tired." But to me, I didn't see that. I saw someone that was just pushing hard, just pushing, and just she was breathing hard and looking tired, but her punches, her takedowns, her just aggression was always still there. So I think we've been kind of waiting for that Gina Mazzani to show up, and I think we got it tonight. I don't know how far she'll go in the flyweight division, but I'm excited that she got a solid win, and I want to see her fight again. So I think that's a big win.
Maybe like a Courtney Casey or something
around there. Okay. Yeah,
that works.
Yeah, just me.
I want to see her fight. Who's the woman that if she wants to stay a flyweight that Lauren Murphy fought? Shakarova.
Yeah.
Because Gina looked great, but she fought Rachel Ostovich, who has a sub-500 record. I don't want to throw her into like an Shevchenko-Lipsky fight that she could win, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking like JJ Aldridge, Montana De La Rosa, like somewhere in there. Like, not top 15, but 16 to 25.
Actually, the lady that Lauren Murphy beat in Abu Dhabi,
I want her.
Well, and if she goes to strawweight, if the UFC keeps Rachel Ostovich around, that's who I would like to see Rachel Ostovich first against if she fights. I think Gina's actually, I think she deserves a bit of a name.
Courtney Casey would be a good one. Montana.
Courtney Casey, unfortunately, seems to be that kind of that, and I hate saying it because it sounds negative, that gatekeeper. You want to be an elite level female fighter, you gotta have to beat Courtney Casey.
What about Sabina Mazo? I don't think she has a fight.
Oh
no. That'd be a fun fight. That'd be a fun fight.
Marina Moroz, I know she's fallen out, so I don't know. There's a couple fun fights. I don't think she's top 15 yet, but a name, like Casey said.
If they keep Ostovich around, you got to do Ashley Evans-Smith, right? I mean, those two are kind of like probably in the same boat right now.
Shayna Dobson.
Yeah.
I would think. Yeah. Or who did Shayna Dobson just beat? Because that's like what? Like, I think.
Oh, the like Agapova.
Sharapova. That'd be a fun. Like,
yeah.
That'd be a fight because I think that's historically one of the biggest betting upsets in the history of UFC.
It might be number one. Norma Dumont versus Ashley Evans-Smith. Norma was 139.5. Norma said she had a tough weight cut, losing 35 pounds. Should UFC have a women's featherweight division and get more fighters? They do have a women's featherweight division.
Do they?
Kind of. Kind of. I mean, in theory.
In theory.
There is a champion. There's supposed to be a title fight coming up.
To answer,
I mean, I don't know what else can you do to build this division even more? I mean, you had a tough season and tried, and then like everybody on that season went down to 135. So like, what else can you do at this point to build 45? I don't know.
I just don't think there's enough quality 45ers to fill up two divisions in two different promotions, being Bellator and UFC. I would love... I mean, I feel bad for Megan, but like, I just want all the 45ers to go to Bellator, and then you know use Invicta as kind of another platform to build up fighters to go to Bellator. Like Pam Swanson's still out there; she's Invicta champ, and I don't understand why she's not signed by the UFC. So
it's wild. Jose, do you subscribe to the theory that when Nunes defends against Megan Anderson, that Megan Anderson has to win for this division to stay alive?
It's an interesting question. I don't know right now because I don't know. If she does win, I think it's great. But if Amanda loses and we get like a Demetrius Johnson type thing where he leaves the UFC after he loses and then all of a sudden flyweight gets like Megan Anderson and someone else fight for a vacant title, and then she wins the vacant title and then injects all this excitement to the division. I guess that could technically happen, but I think Casey just said it best. Featherweight, the best featherweights, the three of the best featherweights in the world between Nunes, Cyborg, and Julia Budd, two of them are in Bellator. And I think Bellator is the place to be if you're a women's featherweight fighter. I think the issue is similar to like the UFC 205 and heavyweights, like the best fight, the best and most stacked weight classes in MMA are the average human size. Like the average male size is probably between 135 and 170, right? Like somewhere in there. And those are the most stacked weight classes. For women, 115 is probably an average women's size for an athlete. That is top 15 is unbelievable at strawweight. And then as you get higher, especially 145, like in the UFC heavyweight, like if you're a UFC heavyweight and you're an incredible athlete, you're probably playing another sport. Or you're going into boxing because you can make a lot more money as a heavyweight champion in boxing than in MMA. So it's until they figure that out, it's going to be a rough time for the featherweight division for women.
Well, I'll tell you what, the potential savior of this division could be Kayla Harrison. I know she's supposed to fight for PFL next year too, but definitely something to keep an eye on because you know I think Amanda Nunes hangs on.
I don't like Kayla Harrison and Amanda Nunes train together down at ATT, or I don't know if they actually train together because you know how ATT is, but
yeah. If
they're both waving the ATT banner, and if Kayla Harrison knows Amanda's out and now's the time to drop to 145 so they don't have to fight each other, wouldn't surprise me either. But like she was for years wanted to fight Cyborg. Like that was her boogie woman, she said.
Who said what? Sorry?
Kayla Harrison really wanted to fight Cyborg before Cyborg lost. Cyborg. I don't know if that's still if she still wants that fight. I'm sure she does.
Why, but yeah,
I
she does. Cares the same,
I don't think she cares the same crescendo as it did in the past. But
outside,
I don't
of
know if it's enough to get her to go to Bellator.
Yeah, I would hope. I want to see Kayla Harrison fight in a bigger show. I think she deserves. I think she's a great personality. I think she's super exciting. I think she's great at 45. I think she's great that she can throw elbows on the ground. Elbows on the ground finally. And I want to see her in Bellator, and I don't want to see a featherweight division in the UFC, unfortunately.
Kayla Harrison is going to be a great on-camera talent, too. She's an excellent speaker.
Is she good on the mic as far as analysts?
She's phenomenal.
Really, oh, that's great.
She is so good, and she can talk a lot of greasiness with her male fighters. Like her and Henry Cejudo are constantly talking trash when they're around each other because they both have gold medals.
In case
you heard,
who is wait, Cejudo? That's a rumor.
Yeah, one or two.
Rumor.
Big if true.
Let me find another question.
Should be a million questions. This is just a weird, wacky, crazy night.
Yeah,
there's been a few.
I don't know what. It's a bit of a troll question, but I think we can parlay this into another topic.
Nate Robinson versus Diego Sanchez.
But more about, are we going to start seeing celebrity MMA? Have we had, I know we get celebrity boxing. Have we really gotten celebrity MMA yet? Do people not want to see that?
I don't know.
I don't want to see. I don't know. I don't want to see like Nate Robinson fight.
Not Diego Sanchez.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know the answer either. I'm not sure because I haven't seen it, you know, but
The closest thing we got is CM Punk. It's the closest thing we got.
Yeah, but it has to be CM Punk versus Nate Robinson. like Nate Robinson versus CM Punk. It's like, oh, okay, that's something I can
think. See. If you're gonna do celebrity MMA, I would like to see like actors who have had legitimate martial arts backgrounds that have parlayed that into a action career that can make the hop, like the jump over.
Yeah,
So like if Tommy from the Green Power Ranger fought CM Punk, I mean, for years Tommy wanted to fight. Tommy and Jean-Claude Van Damme have been trying to fight for years.
You know what? There's a lot of love for the big boys. Big over. There's a lot of love.
I think Mark Raimondi had like the line of the night. Parker Porter looked like a 90s WCW job wrestler.
Yeah. He did. That is true. Yeah. He looked like something. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, that was it.
It was like Booker T versus like Sergeant Parker Porter, and he just gets jobbed out in like a minute and a half. That was a fun fight, though. Obese heavyweight fights are the best. Parisian's a good fighter too. I don't know. That was, I don't know what the lines were on that fight, but probably goes down as a decent upset. But good on Parker Porter. One of the first MMA events I ever went to, I saw Parker Porter fight John Jones, a young man named John Jones, and he got knocked out in 36 seconds.
You saw that live?
Yeah, in Wellington, Massachusetts, 2008. John Jones, I think it was his fourth fight, maybe fifth. But Dan Lozon was on the card. That's the only reason I went to see it. Silver Roy Jones Jr. would be cool. So there's your celebrity fight right there.
I think that could be an actual professional fight too.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're talking boxing.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
God, yes.
Yeah. No kicks. No kicks. No ground. Okay. I just double checking. Just double checking. Yeah. So does Roy Jones's performance tonight make you more enticed? Make you more eager to see Anderson Silva versus Jones?
I've been wanting to see that fight for 10 years. I still want to see that fight. It just confirmed that I want to see it.
I completely agree with Jose.
Yeah, I think to me, I think Roy Jones' performance tonight goes, okay, he still can fight, he can still take a shot, you know. So yeah.
I think we said at the beginning, I think Roy Jones fought like this was an exhibition and Mike Tyson fought like it was a fight. Like I don't obviously know this, I'm not in Roy Jones' camp, but if in my mind, if Roy Jones is like, oh, this is a professional fight for a real belt, I'm gonna destroy Mike Tyson. I feel like Roy Jones would beat Mike Tyson in 2020.
You think so?
I do. If there was an actual piece of hardware on the line and you get a championship, like a real belt from a governing body, I feel like Roy Jones could beat Mike Tyson in 2020.
Do you think if they do the rematch, it should be a real fight? Do they need to do this exhibition thing again? Like, do you think they proved enough to the commission, to the general audience, to the boxing and MMA media, like we matter, but that like no, these guys should be able to fight a professional fight with real judges, real knockouts or whatever. Because I was thinking during the fight, okay, they went 8 rounds. I thought both guys looked great for their age, but at the same time, I didn't want to see either of them get knocked out. That wouldn't have felt dirty. You don't think that would felt dirty if you would have saw Mike Tyson just flattened out?
If a 50-year-old knocks out a 50-year-old, I wouldn't feel dirty. If it was Mike Tyson fighting like, I don't know, like Usyk, and Usyk just a cap, then I would feel bad. But if they're both like 53 and 56, I don't feel bad.
Mm. All right. What did you think, Mike? Was there any moment where you go, man, it's like, like maybe like after the third round, okay, I just want to see a competitive decision. Or did you want to see like, I want to see a knockout. I got to get some violence in here.
I wouldn't say completely satisfied with the fight, but I was satisfied enough. Like Tyson tried to take his head off in the first 2 rounds. And then I think he realized like, all right, this is an exhibition. And Tyson still was throwing hammers, but he was like landing hard to the body. Wasn't trying to like decapitate him like past the midway point of the fight. He landed some nasty hooks though.
Yeah,
I mean we got to see like glimpses of the old Tyson in the fight, which was kind of fun.
I was watching a fester and I said, oh, it feels like I'm watching a greatest hits in the sense that we got to see little visions of like prime Mike Tyson for like, you know, 3 or 4 seconds at a time. Little visions of prime Roy Nelson, you know, Roy Jones, you know, doing his thing, you know.
I agree. You know. Like, yeah, when he,
there,
like,
there was like moments, you know, his, oh, yeah.
He would do his head movement and he hit him with that jab. I'd be like, he got, guys, he did it. He did the thing.
He did the thing he does. Yeah. He did the,
and then like Mike Tyson was like coming in like this, then he like, yeah, switched and went to the body. I'm like, yeah, he did the thing again. He did the thing that we used to watch.
That's why I feel the fight was, to me, a success, because we got to see what we wanted without feeling dirty to me.
Sure.
Do we do Tyson versus Holyfield now?
Ugh. Holyfield might
you
be.
You know it's coming,
might,
right?
Oh, that might be. No, that, man. Tyson, that might actually be a bad fight, though, as far as just Mike entertainment.
Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas, part two. Why not?
God, Buster Douglas is like 350 right now.
I bet he's bigger than that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you if they did Tyson Douglas 2 in 2022, it would just shatter numbers from like the generation that remembers that.
And but Tyson Holyfield with the casual viewer.
I mean the casual viewer of Douglas and Tyson too. Like there's a reason we call like any major upset, like that is the litmus test. Like, oh, the Red Sox beat the Astros. Is it a bigger upset than Douglas over Tyson? Like, no.
All right. Let me get some last questions in here. Oh, someone asked me, am I drinking a beer? And no, I'm not drinking a beer. I'm drinking a LaCroix. This is LaCroix. This is berry flavored, 0 calories.
Hip soda.
Yeah.
Hipster water.
What are you talking about? This is good stuff.
That's what it's called. Yeah, it's delicious. That's just what people refer to it as.
What about hipster water? What does that mean?
It means you're too cool to drink real water, so you got to put flavor in it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, you got me.
Sandy Pham, good to see you. Hypothetically, if the Cyborg-Harrison fight happens, who would win?
That's an interesting question.
If they fought right now, I favor Chris,
but it would be a great fight. I don't think Harrison is by any means outmatched, but I just think Chris Cyborg hits. I still think she might hit harder than Amanda at featherweight. Amanda just cleaned her clock that fight, but Cyborg just like you don't look the same when you fight her. Kayla Harrison has never experienced that. In any capacity, I think so. I'd favor Chris. Plus, Chris Cyborg is a phenomenal grappler. Like she's a great jiu-jitsu practitioner. So Harrison is not out by any means, but I heavily favor Chris Cyborg.
Yeah, I mean she'll have what at least 4 or 5 more fights before that fight could even happen.
Yeah,
she'll do. And, she's gonna do Kayla one more Invicta fight.
Kayla's for sure. I think Kayla's already the strongest featherweight out there in terms of physical strength. Like she has like cannons on her arms. So, but that's a super interesting fight if that happens. I don't know right now, Chris, but down the road, I'm sure Kayla is going to put up. She's going to be in the fight no matter what, but I favor Chris.
If she does go to Bellator, I don't want to see them throw Kayla Harrison into that fight right away. Give her another fight first. It doesn't even have to be a Julia Butt. Throw her in there with like a Jesse Miele.
I feel like Bellator has been pretty good at that. Like all these fighters that come over from the UFC, they get like one fight and then they like Sergio Pettis got the treatment. Like I think Bader fought Phil Davis right away, but I think he was coming off like a long win streak in the UFC and then got slotted in against a former UFC champ. So who did Corey Anderson fight first?
Melvin Manhoef.
Yeah, Melvin Manhoef. Who did
Lorenz Larkin fought for a title in his first fight, right?
Lima. Yeah, but that was the MSG card. They wanted to stack
and,
that.
And Larkin was coming off wins, too. Larkin was coming off wins in the UFC. Anderson was coming off, obviously, that knockout. So,
sure.
So it's a little different, I think. But
I think lately they've been doing a pretty decent job of giving them one fight before the big fight. So I feel they're just desperate for it.
I remember Musasi, his first fight was against Alexander
the Russian cat.
Shlemenko. Shlemenko almost knocked him out. Yeah.
Almost, I was there almost lost his eye.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
He almost lost his eye in that.
Yeah, fight. Like he almost ended his career. Yeah, that fight. Yeah, he got hit so hard and
he was on the MMA hour right after. Yeah.
Didn't Benson Henderson lose his first fight in Bellator
against Koreshkov at welterweight?
At 170.
That's when
that was a mistake. Yeah,
that's
fight.
When. That's also when Benson Henderson had one knee and just didn't like for those of you who don't know, like I'll say it for him because Benson Henderson's is not one to make excuses. Benson Henderson basically had one knee for like 5 years before he had surgery. So I remember I would see him at like local Arizona shows, and it looked like he was struggling to walk up the steps to corner people, let alone fight a human. So all respect to Benson Henderson.
I sat cage side for that fight. Koreshkov was just slamming his shin against Ben Henderson's face over and over again. Like he was just peppering him, and Henderson like didn't even bat an eye. He just kept moving forward. I was like, how is this guy human right now?
Benson Henderson is an underappreciated former champion of the UFC.
100%.
Unfortunately, he's not a welterweight. He needs to understand that. He is not a top level welterweight. Rather, he is not a.
And he is. I think he's a perfect 165er.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. Guys, we have been blabbing for over an hour now.
Really?
Yeah, hour and 5 minutes. Actually, we had two cards to go through. Yeah.
Anything? Any other crazy?
No, I think we already answered this, but he really wants us to talk about this, so we can help out Mr. Tristan.
Yeah, I was waiting for Tristan Gordat. With another finish by Baeza, who do you like the most out of these top prospects at welterweight? Baeza, Rachmanov, Sean Brady, Chaos, or Chimaev? Could name others have not mentioned. So, who's your top?
Who do I like?
Who's your top welterweight prospect right now, Jose?
Ooh.
Like, who do I think is going to do the best business? Who do I think will be a former champion? What are we talking here?
Of these guys, who will be fighting for a title first?
Hamzat.
So you think
Hamzat will fight for?
You think Hamzat beats Edwards then? That's I assume.
No, not. I think Shamaya. Like, if we're talking about in general, who will fight for who am I put my money on to fight for a UFC title at some point in their career? Hamzat, Chaos. I still have a lot of questions. He's awesome. I think Chaos Williams is awesome. I just there's still some questions I need answered. Rachmanov has a ton of fights outside of the UFC, so I think he's like he was seized. Like I wouldn't even call him a prospect anymore. He's new. He's not a prospect. Like Baeza and Brady, I think are good prospects. So I think Chimaev and Rachmanov are gonna fight for the title sooner rather than later. This is tough. This is real tough because I want all these guys to fight. And we literally named all these guys when who should fight who.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's
actually, I like Rachmanov the best. I don't know very much about him, but I just kind of got that feeling that he's got there's something very dangerous about that young man.
He was awesome at the on the Fight Island press conference, post fight press conference. He was the only thing I kept telling him. I told his because they had I can't remember if it was coach or trans or whatever, because he would answer the questions looking at the translator, who had to sit about 10 feet to the left because they couldn't be up on the podium together or the table together with a mic. So we would have to ask him, and then the translator would translate over here, and then he would tell him, and he was the only fighter that would answer his questions at the translator. So I kept telling him, like, look over here, cameras are right here, the cameras are right here. And at the end, he looked really confused. Then the translator told him, and he was like, he was the most apologetic. So, good guy. Like that guy a lot.
I'll tell you what, out of all of these names, Rachmanov has the best win out of all of them. Like, considering name value, performance, all of that. Like, Chaos knocking out Alex Morano is probably a close second. If we're talking about, like,
I still
Red the Maze and stuff.
I still give, Moreno some benefit of the doubt, considering it was a very last minute fight. And Chaos Williams, no one had ever heard of him. So win is a win. One fair and square. If they fight again, it could easily happen the exact same way. But I want to see it again at some point.
Actually, I think Chaos's win over Alassane was even more impressive, to be honest. I think remember Alassane before Alassane was like he was on a streak before he had a little legal trouble, you know.
Then he got pieced up by Lizez, though.
Yeah, but remember that fight?
Lizez was 0-0 in the UFC.
Yeah,
he was an Instagram fighter.
But Alassane was out for 2 years.
Yeah.
Almost. He was out for 2 years. He had to come back to fight that guy. I think, because I thought before Alassane had his issues, let's call him that, I thought he was like an extremely good welterweight prospect.
I was never sold on him.
Really?
I think beating Hamasi, he fought him twice just because the first one was weird and then he knocked him out. I'm not high on Hamasi as an uber talent to begin with. So when he won twice, I was like, yeah, like now we can move on. And then we just never really did. So I was never really over there. I think submitting Cowboy Oliveira is super impressive for your UFC debut.
My only issue is Cowboy had that bad weight cut, and it was one of those bad weight cuts where there are two types of bad weight cuts. The weight cut where you just don't give an F and you just take the cut, or the weight cut where you actually wind up being a worse fighter, you know, because you didn't make weight. But yeah, but okay, we are way over. You know what? We got things to do, man. Hold on.
Well, they're playing us off.
Playing us off, man.
They're playing us off. What a night. Oh, what a night. November 28th, 2020 will be etched in our minds forever.
Will it?
Probably. You know November 28th, 2021, we're going to be running highlight videos of on this day 1 year ago, Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson out cold. What a night it was.
That was a cool knockout.
It was a cool knockout. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him next, but that'll do it for the UFC Vegas 15 / Tyson versus Jones post-fight show. Appreciate you guys watching and listening. Next week, we get Jack Hermanson versus Marvin Vettori. So there you go. And there's a dog.
And you can tune in to the Ace on Wednesday. I'll be 30.
Whoa, old man. Gross.
You'll be 30?
I will.
Wow. You're younger than that.
No way, dog.
Well, there you go. Welcome to the club. Ugh. Welcome to the club. For Jose, Casey Lydon, Esther and the dog, I am Mike Heck. Thank you all very much. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.